Let's talk some Cowboys with Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram here. Sean, RJ, and Bobby live on a Football Friday, Firehouse Friday here, Denton Station number 3 off 35 and McCormick. We'd love to see you here until 10 a.m. We got free breakfast. We got all the giveaways, Whataburger flags. We got the insulated coolers as well, and we cannot wait to see you. And now it is time to welcome in our good buddy Nick Harris of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram as we're live on Twitch and YouTube. Shout out to Peyton and Caitlin for that. Nick, happy Friday to you, man. It's a bye week, but it's not been a slow week. How have you taken in all the insanity from Jerry right here on this program?
Hey, what are we talking about? It's been a nice, calm, peaceful, boring bye week. It's just what everybody expected, right?
Yeah, exactly. Everything is everything status quo at this point, man. I'm just still blown away.
I'm glad he's learned. I'm glad Nick's learned here. Don't feed into the drama, Nick. Don't be dramatic. Let's talk about things on an even level. We're all learning that right now.
Yeah, you roll with the punches, and you learn whenever you taste blood a little bit, and that's what I've been doing over these first few weeks here at the Star-Telegram.
So, what was your initial reaction, Nick? Because I will say Jerry was a little testy in the post game ganger with all you guys after the beat down to the Lions. He was punching back a little bit there, but then he hops on with the fellas here on Sean and RJ, and of course everything goes off the rails a little bit. How surprised were you to see him react the way he did? A guy who usually has super thick skin.
Yeah, it was surprising. It was more so to that point, Eric, about, you know, him having thick skin. And speaking of being able to roll with the punches, you know, Jerry's been able to do that with the media for a really long time. And
for 30 years.
Exactly. And it seemed to all just kind of mount in that one session with you guys, Bobby. And I to be completely honest, on Tuesday morning, I was still kind of rolling out of bed. I had a late night Monday night, and this happened, and it served as a really good coffee for me Tuesday morning. I woke up, and yeah, it was pretty wild to me. I think all in all, I mean, heading into the bye week 3-3, it's been an unpredictable type season so far, because you don't know what Dallas Cowboys team you're going to get whenever they walk out onto the field. And I think it was pretty representative of that radio availability too. Pretty unpredictable in a certain sense. I think everything that's kind of going on with the Cowboys, from ownership to players to coaching to everything involved, it's just been unpredictable. And it makes for great content, but as a fan, you know, you want to see more wins. You want that to be a little bit more predictable. But there's still 11 weeks in the season, 12 weeks in the season, whatever you want to look at it. There's a lot of football still left to be played, and a lot of guys still available to be returned from injury. I think this is going to be a interesting downstretch to the season.
Nick Harris joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. It's Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. 35 and McCormick at the Denton Firehouse. Does it seem the temperature is too high when you're 3-3 and a game out of first? Does it just seem like we're just too on edge?
I think there could be a little bit attributed to that, but I think this has all been kind of built up since the start of free agency, if you're looking at, you know, the fan perspective, right? Because, you know, you expect to go out and make a splash in free agency, whether it be a Derrick Henry, or you re-sign, you know, a Tyron Smith, or you bring back one of these guys that, you know, you didn't want to lose a free agency. And I think the losses from the fan perspective really started then, and then it kind of trickled down to the draft. You don't go get a running back. You don't get a Jonathan Brooks or an Isaac Garrido, who's already starting to pop a little bit, Braylon Allen. And then it kind of trickles down into OTAs. You don't sign CD Lamb before training camp. So, I mean, I think you look at it from the fan perspective, and they were 0-4 before training camp even started. So, I think all of that is kind of melted from the fan perspective, and you look at it on paper for what the season has been so far, 3-3 going into the bye week. Yes, a lot of questions need to be answered. Probably more questions need to be answered than have been answered so far in the season. But all in all, everything is still out in front of the Cowboys, but it's going to take a lot more intention, a lot more accountability from guys on both sides of the ball to be able to correct the wrong so far. And for me, that starts with this team being more physical. It starts with it being more tough. And I think at the end of the day, there is a little bit more intention being put to that. You know, I asked Dak Prescott after the game against the Lions, what can you do to be a more physical team? He's put He put all the accountability on practice during the week. He said guys can't just show up on Sundays. You know, Mike McCarthy said something very similar on Monday. He said guys are practicing hard, but they're not practicing well. So I wonder how much practice changes during the week or how much their approach during the week does change going into these final 11 weeks, because they need to be able to find something so that they can match up with these physically tough teams whenever they go up against them.
Nick, what can reasonably be fixed at the bye week or just moving forward? I mean, Jerry talks about can't go out and get 20 new players, and you know, we keep hearing about what the limitations are with injury and waiting for health. So what reasonably can even be fixed, and how much can you improve your margins by fixing those things?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, if we look back to the bye week last year, right, and what was fixed after that bye week, you found a lot more offensive consistency. You saw a more refined connection between Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. And you know, we call back to the slow start to 2023 that CeeDee Lamb had. And it was slower than what we've seen from CeeDee Lamb here in 2024, despite that connection definitely still being off. Now, on that same token, you haven't really had the established wide receiver two yet. And Brandon Cooks, whenever he comes back from injured reserve, he'll have to kind of find his way back into the groove again. But Jalen Tolbert has been able to take the next step, so maybe there's a little bit of optimism there if you're looking at it from a fan perspective. But all in all, as far as what can change, I don't think there is anything massive that can make this team an NFC contender after you lose 38 points to the Detroit Lions. Now, you do have 11 weeks to figure it out. I think certainly this team needs a much different approach in the run game, whether that is going to acquire somebody or figuring out just a completely different run game strategy at the end of the day. This type of offense with Mike McCarthy as the play caller, he's a guy that uses the four tight ends. He uses the offensive lineman spots. He has three running backs and a fullback. He wants to run the ball in his offense, and whenever you have a running game that is not sustainable, it doesn't work for the entire unit. You can't pass without that running game. And so they have to be able to find that, to find some offensive consistency. I think their problems start there.
Nick Harris from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. All right, Nick, I know Jerry doesn't deal in hypotheticals, but we all do.
Obviously.
So I'll throw you on really quickly. We talk about how things have gone a little bit sideways at this point. If Dak Prescott's contract hadn't been worked out before week one and we were sitting here on a play-it-out situation, would we be talking about Dak's future being in jeopardy here with the way he's played?
Man, that is I've been thinking about that over the course of the last couple of weeks, about if that deal did not get done, what would the conversation be right now? And man, I don't even want to put myself in that reality, to be completely honest. I think there would be so much a fan discourse by this point. I think at the end of the day, you still do have a Dak Prescott who's heading into, yes, the back half of his career, but still has a lot of good football left. He has not played up to the standard of what we've gotten used to seeing from Dak, especially from last year. We haven't seen that so far. But also, again, like I said, last year we didn't really see the best of Dak until after the bye week. There's still a lot of football left to be played. I think moving forward, you would still understand that Dak probably gives you the best shot to win over the course of the next few years. Whenever I went back to the discourse around, you know, Dak and his contract and doesn't make sense to do it or not, I always look at how the Dallas Cowboys have been spoiled without having to be in quarterback purgatory since I was in diapers. So I think there's a lot of confidence that you could take away from that. I think re-signing Dak Prescott long-term, it was the right decision, even if that hasn't paid off so far.
Unless this is purgatory.
Stop it.
Like, right? Like, hell, like right? Because if you're good.
I'm with you on this, Chad.
Because if you're, to me, quarterback purgatory is having a quarterback ranked between, like, 6th and 15th.
But number one on the highest paid chart.
Oh, I don't even care about the pay. But, yes, because, like, you're never going to be the 6th best quarterback doesn't win Super Bowls. The best quarterback wins Super Bowls.
Right. Yeah, and right now you have the highest paid quarterback and you are a legitimately bad football team.
Yeah.
And that is a nightmare place to be. Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram with us here on The Fan. What do you think the deal is? Like, could you get to the root of the issue and the disconnect between Dak and Lamb right now? Are they getting along off the field? What is the problem? Is it really just a training camp thing? I mean, we're 6 weeks into the season. These guys have been playing together for quite some time now.
Yeah, we're not seeing the connection established enough. That's 100% true. I mean, we look at these two red zone turnovers over the course of the last two games, the interception in the end zone against Pittsburgh, the interception in the end zone against the Lions, both on CeeDee Lamb targets, both on opportunities where Dak and CeeDee just were not on the same page. We saw it in the very first game of the season where both of them broke in different ways, and it could have been a touchdown if they had connected. So we are certainly seeing that lack of off-season work, that lack of training camp work really show up here in these first 6 weeks, and I'm honestly surprised it's taken this long to be able to figure it out. Those two have to get on the same page for this offense to find any sort of stride. I think that, you know, this bye week, it does give them an opportunity to work more outside of the facility. CeeDee Lamb had said that they will get more reps over the course of this next week. But I mean, how much more can you really do when you're trying to work in timing, work in rhythm? But you also go up against secondaries like Detroit, who all they have to do is just throw a little bit of physicality around, and that timing and rhythm gets thrown off immediately. So I wonder how much can actually be put into that. But they have 11 weeks to be able to try and rectify it.
Nick, do you expect to continue to see the offensive line starting five with Tyler Smith at left tackle, or after the bye week, Guyton back to hopefully as close to 100% as possible and he gets back in there?
Yeah, it's sounding like Tyler Guyton will get that job back at left tackle. Just was not 100% going into the game against the Lions. They wanted to make sure that they had a guy that was 100% going up against that defensive front. We see that it did not matter anyway, but at the end of the day, Tyler Guyton, he will get that job back most likely for that San Francisco game. Tyler Smith back at left guard, Cooper Beebe at center, obviously. And Zach Martin, you hope he rebounds after easily the worst game of his career at right guard. You start to kind of look at maybe is there a hole on that right side that is starting to be a little bit bigger than some anticipated coming into the season. And then obviously Terrence Steele at right tackle.
Nick Harris from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joining us here on Sean and RJ on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, Nick, so we talked about what can conceivably make this team better in terms of adjustments they can make. They obviously are dealing with a ton of injuries right now. How much of this is just getting healthy? You know, how much of this could be if they just get healthy and get their guys back, they'll be able to close some of this gap with other contenders?
I think there's a little bit of truth to that, but I don't think the whole truth. I don't think you'll find the whole truth there. I say little bit of truth because you look at the turnover margin. Dallas is tied for the third worst turnover margin going into week 7 at -6. They've only created 5 takeaways through 6 games, but they've been missing their leading interception man from a year ago in De'Ron Bland. So you would assume to get him back against the 49ers, so that would immediately give you a boost in that department. But even when you do get the DeMarcus Lawrences and the Micah Parsons and even the Brandon Cooks, I mean, those are guys you still had for the first 3 weeks of the season, and you still had a lot of questions that you had to answer coming out of those games. You know, I mean, especially in the run game aspect of things, whenever you're giving up 557 rushing yards in a 3-game span with most of your starters available to you, that doesn't necessarily lead confidence whenever those guys do come back. But on that same token, there's been a lot more intention put and prep during the week on the defensive side. We saw them rebound against Pittsburgh and New York. Can those two guys respawn whenever they do come back in the run game? Talking about Micah and DeMarcus Lawrence. But also, you need that pass rush element that they bring as well. Haven't really seen that, but I anticipate that coming over the course of the next 11 weeks for sure.
Nick, you're a beast. Hopefully you enjoy that bye weekend, and we will look forward to catching up with you down the line.
Appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a fantastic one.
Yes, sir. There he goes, Nick Harris, of formerly of DallasCowboys.com, now with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. We'll catch up with Nick Eatman at 9:20. Sean, RJ, and Bobby live from the Denton Firehouse here on a Football Friday as part of the Firehouse Tour. Sean will be back on Monday. Big shout-out to Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish, and Shrimp. I believe we still have maybe a couple of coolers left, some G-Bag flags here until 10 a.m.
We have one left.
Oh, baby.
One cooler left.
One more for a Lucky Tolo Firehouse, number 3 in Denton, 35 in McCormick. We cannot wait to see you here. We'll go below the belt coming up here in just a little bit. We got a college football crackdown, some around the NFL, and King Cap is back next year on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes.
The Guardians get it done versus the Yankees.
Guards.
MLB playoffs on fire last night, unless, of course, you're a Mets fan, but that's just kind of the nature of the beast there. Sean, RJ, and Bobby live at the Denton Firehouse, station number 335 in McCormick here in Denton. We would love to see you. Sean Sharif back on Monday. Not fired, just got a little vasectomy situation going down. It's so funny how many people are texting.
Cover story.
Did Sean really
it's
get fired?
It's a great cover story, the vasectomy. Oh, yeah. Had to get a job. The two-day suspension. Yeah.
Just buying time. Buying time at that point.
It's
Choppy.
It's one of those go-tos.
Now, we will get to King Cap here momentarily, but the baseball stuff last night.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Not if you're a New York sports fan, probably, because the Mets got destroyed again. Now, this is their third loss in this series by 8 runs or more.
Just getting tore up.
They're getting
dude.
Tore Every game in the series, period, has been decided by 4 runs or more. The Mets' lone win was a 7-3 win. Dodgers have won 10-2. 8-zip and 9-zip. Crazy, right? And then Cleveland was up 3-1 basically the entire game on the Yankees. New York gets a home run from Aaron Judge, 2 runs shot to tie it. Then Stanton next hits one. And then a guy named Jackensy Noel. Jackensy Noel hits
Big Christmas.
Absolute missile of a home run to tie it in the ninth. 2 outs, by the way. And then David Fry in extras hits a 2-run shot to win. I saw the back page of the New York Post. Their headline was Rockin' Woe. It's a pretty good headline.
Pretty good. Pretty solid.
Pretty solid. So baseball needed that. They needed Cleveland to win because what they did not want. Now, they do want Yankees-Dodgers, but what they did not want is the Dodgers to be up 3-1 and the Yankees to go up 3-0. That they because that now what you would have happen is you would theoretically the series could end tonight. The World Series, guys, doesn't start till Friday of next week. They didn't want an NBA final. Remember the NBA finals was like 9 days
yes.
between games.
Yeah,
they didn't want
bad.
That. They didn't want that because and by the way, the teams don't want that either because they don't want to be sitting around holding their.
They don't want to cool down,
right?
They're on a run. They don't want to cool down.
So,
and you know what, Chop? If they did want to cool down. They could eat some of this sassy snow-shaved ice that Becky brought us.
Oh, man.
Becky's a beast, dude.
Well, look, I've never had shaved ice that's s'mores flavored. Well, that's not the little drop.
Amaretto? Oh, baby.
Yeah, that's amaretto, and then there's s'mores, and then what's this one over here? That's coffee cake. That's wild. She's got that over at the Kroger on Teasley, but she brought these over to us, so thank you to Becky.
I wonder if she gave me amaretto because she knows I can't handle my alcohol.
I don't think she gave you amaretto because I think that was the last one that we just hadn't grabbed yet, and we handed it to you.
That s'mores one is on point, dude.
It tastes like a s'more. It's very. I've never seen anything like it, so it's very good. So thank you to Becky.
Yes, thank you very much, Becky. Okay, now let's get into what is
we gotta get a ruling. We've been meaning to get to this all week.
Right.
We were thrown off by the Cowboys getting absolutely beaten down. Then we're thrown off by Jerry. Then we're thrown off by Jerry reaction. And then we're thrown off by Sean's suspension that we had to disguise as him getting a vasectomy. And so it's all thrown us off. So here we are on Friday, and we're finally going to be able to get to King Cap as Lucius Alexander. Routinely calls LeBron James that he is King Cap, and that's because LeBron
is that,
has
is
a tendency.
He's a liar.
LeBron has a tendency to lie about things that he has absolutely no need to lie about. It's almost like talking to like an 8-year-old sometimes. How they're telling stories like, "Why are you even lying about this? There's no possible benefit to you."
Right.
And that's what LeBron did recently. He's sitting down with Bronny,
uh-huh.
And people are accusing him of lying on the set of this like local LA coverage of their preseason games. LeBron sat down and told a story that a lot of people are saying is just a flat out lie.
When he was like 5 or 6 years old, I just told him in the locker room before we came out, and he had did something. He had grabbed a rebound and like drove, you know, coast to coast through the lane, through a couple of the other kids, and like laid it up and had a little trot back. And I looked over at his mom, and I was like, oh, he's special. Like, he's special. She was like, what? He's 5 years old. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I've seen this before. All the way to the point where he gets drafted, and I brought that back to his mom, and she was like, I remember you said that at like 12 years ago.
So here's the thing. The story itself is, okay, maybe sounds like a little bit of an exaggeration. What really punctuates the lie for me is that last line.
Yes.
Where he says, I remember you say that. And there was so much commentary. They're like, you can see on Bronny's face when he launches into the story, like, quit. Do not tell your stupid lie story. This is terrible. And he got called out by a guy that likes him a lot, Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague, one of the better NBA podcasters out there, I feel like. He talked about this the other day on his podcast, and he said, LeBron's got to stop with the lies.
I f*** with LeBron. Only thing I didn't feel, I was like, he said when he was like 5 years old, he seen the and was like, yeah, he going to the league. Like, stop. I love y'all to death, bro. I love y'all whole family, but bro.
What made that official for me, that statement, is his son looking like, oh,
like nigga, I wasn't even the best on the team.
I wasn't even the best on the team.
Yeah, I saw the clip, and you can see Bronny's face the whole time.
He's just like, please don't do this again,
it's
dude.
It's so unfair. I really do feel bad for Bronny. Like, not look, I don't feel bad for him because he doesn't have to do any of this. He can just live rent free forever.
Right.
But like, it's his dad does put him in such a position of like, you're made to hate him. And it's not fair. It's not fair to Bronny. Like, Bronny's done nothing wrong to me. He done nothing wrong to any of us. But people are going to dislike him just because who his dad is.
It's the Lonzo, LaMelo.
But Lonzo Ball, at least, you know, LeVar Ball didn't do anything. Like, as a, like, you know, he wasn't LeBron.
Right. Lonzo was drafted where he was drafted out of
legitimacy.
Out of merit.
He was a tremendous player. And you know, Bronny could have been. He stayed in school a little longer, got better. He was a draftable player in 2 years. Not today.
Right.
2 years from now, he could have been.
Yeah, just this LeBron talking about Bronny being drafted on draft night and all this stuff as if he didn't just coordinate the entire thing.
Right.
What's your favorite LeBron lie?
It's
the Kobe 81 game?
The Kobe 81 is the one that
I told my friends he's going for 70 tonight. Shut up.
That's the one it's most synonymous. I think the one about, isn't it The Godfather?
The Godfather.
Yeah, The Godfather.
It's the fact that he watches The Godfather every night during the playoffs. It's like, dude, that movie's 3.5 hours long. You know, where are you finding the time for
it? Wasn't it like, what's your favorite quote from the movie?
Yeah,
like,
and he couldn't
so
think
many.
Of one.
Yes.
So many. My favorite one
love
is that.
The books.
It's every time. He's always. Every time he's photoed reading a book, it's always on the first page.
Yeah.
He hasn't even gotten
to the table of contents.
He's always on the first page of the book. That's the best part.
That is good. Okay, college football, what are they cracking down on?
Okay,
Bob?
So this is, I don't know. I understand that in this era, there's a lot of sensitivity about, you know, the issues relating to brandishing weapons and embracing the violent gun culture, whatever.
What
else. Not naturally, but just the idea of like gang banging, you know what I'm saying.
Do we have a gun culture problem?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So college football is cracking down now on gun related celebrations. So Peyton, you would be getting fined routinely for all the guns up that you throw when you're out there on college football Saturdays cheering for your Red Raiders. College football is going down. This is after Minnesota defensive back Justin Wally recently received a 15-yard penalty, and the penalty chop was said to be simulating brandishing a weapon. That's the kind of language we're getting now. It caught P.J. Fleck off guard, the Gophers head coach, but it's now a point of emphasis specifically in the Big Ten and the SEC. They don't want any gun-related celebrations. This is something CeeDee Lamb was fined for a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Was when he got the first down, he sat down and he pointed and then he made it look like he was firing off a gun. So
is he not doing the finger sniff thing anymore?
No, the white... No, it wasn't fingers. Did you think he was sniffing his finger?
I don't think that's exactly what he's doing.
Wiping your nose. That's what he's doing.
I thought he was doing a little first down finger sniff.
No. That's a little boosy wipe your nose.
Sorry.
CD, what'd you do last night?
Okay. The
an elbow.
So well, anyway, all this to say,
I drew you off sides there.
You did.
That's a finger sniff. Ask anybody. Just what is this guy doing? Well, he's sniffing his finger.
Show me what you think it looked like.
I imagine he makes that noise with his nose too.
Oh man. Eric, gosh, I lost my train of thought.
These gun violence ones, though, it was surprising.
It comes from a good place. I think it's ridiculous, though. If they're just like, when CD sits down and goes like, boo, 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 like, that's stupid.
That's a bit innocuous. The one, though, where the South Carolina Gamecock tackles the quarterback.
He's literally holding a shotgun.
That was a bit much.
That's capital murder.
I know they think they're in Fortnite here, but
that's a little much. That looks very much like he's, like, threatening to kill him. And so I understand that one. But these other ones of where you just, you know, you act like, oh, you just fired a gun or whatever, that's ridiculous to me. And that's too over the top.
Big college weekend. We got LSU Arkansas on the fan tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Got Texas and Georgia on 1080 KRLD, 6 o'clock coverage on this one.
We got BYU and Oklahoma State tonight.
That's right.
On the fan.
We do. And check this out. I want to get this real quick. The Virginia story.
Oh, yes, the college basketball situation.
So Tony Bennett, he retired.
He left his heart in San Francisco.
He did. He left his heart in San Francisco, then he retired.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like 3 weeks the season starts, right?
I was thinking he had a health issue or something.
So that's the thought. But this is the real reason that I've heard. He went to the school a while ago and said, I want you to make Jason Williford the coach in waiting. I want you to name him the coach in waiting for when I do retire. And they said no. So this is his way, and this is what college coaches are starting to kind of do. This is his way of, like, forcing them to name him the coach. He retires 3 weeks before the season starts. The team's set. They're not going to transfer.
Right.
They have to have a coach. They can't hire a coach right now. This is his way of giving that guy a free year of a tryout.
Jeez, I mean, friend of the year, Tony Bennett.
Why,
I mean, totally.
Wanted to retire. I guess he wanted to retire soon anyway, and he was like, well, screw it, I'll just do it now.
Totally caping for his guy that he wanted to get the gig.
Yep.
That guy owes him
He owes him a lot.
He owes him everything.
He owes him everything, so.
But now what are you rooting for? Are you rooting for this guy to succeed and be like, yeah, Tony Bennett, or are you rooting for this guy to fail? And it's like, wow, Tony, you really botched this one.
Yeah,
entire program.
Yeah, if you're the school, like, what do you want? Like, because, like, you know, it didn't really work out this way with, Texas would have kind of done something similar to Chris Beard when he left. Now, obviously, he left under different circumstances, but with Roddy Terry, that was kind of the guy he wanted to be the coach in waiting for when he would have.
Yeah,
eventually.
He went a little extreme in making sure that he got his coach.
He didn't exactly do it that way. Yeah. He went and decided that he was going to just break the law.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Well, that's a wild deal, man. Tony Bennett having no regard for anyone on the entire campus other than his best friend. I think it's because he knows this guy's going to suck as a coach, and he wants the guy that replaces him. So then everybody misses. Gosh, I missed the Tony Bennett days.
Pure alpha.
This is the long play for him.
Pure alpha behavior, though. He just said like, no, I'm going to get exactly my way. In fact, I bet he celebrated with. How do you think he celebrated, Eric? Do you think it was with the finger sniff? How do you think he did it?
I will say.
When he got his way, what do you think he did?
I will say that I've been vindicated on the text here. Every single text that has come in is in agreement with me. We all thought CeeDee Lamb was doing the finger sniff on a first down, and now he's changing up the game
that's
here.
That's not
but
correct, though.
Apparently,
you and the fan text are wrong.
We're completely wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the degenerate at the top of the hour. Choppy puts money in your pocket.
Oh, maybe.
Eatman at 9:20. Of course, we crosstalk with a Mike Bassick-led crosstalk on a Friday for the first time in a while. We're live in Denton here. For the Firehouse Tour, Denton Firehouse number 335 in McCormick. We'd love to see you here. We're here until 10 a.m. with free breakfast and Whataburger flags, and I believe the coolers they've been officially gone.
Mm-hmm.
They are officially gone. The Tolo turnout has been absolutely legendary today. Great to see everybody. It's starting to warm up now. It's beautiful, just in time for Below the belt. Bob, what's next?
Jerry. That's next on 105 Through the Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Jerry. He is back at it.
I don't know, sometimes.
Once again. Jerry Jones gave an interview to Jarrett Bell from USA Today on Tuesday night.
I'll get somebody else to ask these questions.
Well, Jerry.
Yay-hoos.
Yeah, Jerry. It's Jarrett Bell is who we got to ask him these questions this time. And I will say this, is that for all the I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, most of the questions it seems like he's already received lately have been similar to the ones we asked him.
Interesting.
Like Diana Rossini and Jarrett Bell, they're asking him the same sort of questions we were. So I think he's going to run into those questions regardless. But Jerry Jones had given an interview to Jarrett Bell on Tuesday night as he was getting into his car leaving owners meetings. Jarrett wrote about it yesterday, and here was the money quote. He was asked, for real, would you consider replacing these fans of the or these hosts of the Fan? He said, I don't know. I'll tell you what. Dale Hansen and Brad Sham had to take a leave when they went too far one way or another. He said the buck does stop with him, but he says, but they're my own folks. That's like Brad and Dale putting it on us during a ball game. RJ Choppy. Would you agree with that? Would you say that's similar to, are we similar to Brad and Dale? Is that the same situation?
No, I don't think that's a fair comparison at all.
Nope.
Well, I think one is basically a team employee.
Yeah, and even still, look, I don't necessarily agree with. I wasn't here obviously when the Dale thing went down. I definitely don't agree with Brad being taken off the broadcast when he was, and I wouldn't agree with. In theory, I wouldn't agree, I don't think, with the Dale thing, but I don't know specifics of that one nearly as much, so I can't speak to that one the same way. But in general, it gives off this vibe of basically when he says at some point Brad and Dale had to answer for it, and he's insinuating that we do, it definitely gives off this vibe of you're going to fall in line.
Yeah, it does.
Right.
It
and you're going to do that. And that's the biggest problem that I have is for somebody who's had such big shoulders and says the buck stops with me, it sounds like you don't want the buck stopping with anybody. You don't want any culpability. You don't want any responsibility. You just want it to go away. You're in denial. You don't want to hear about the diagnosis.
Yes.
You don't want to go to the doctor and confirm that you're sick. You don't want to find out that your team's bad. You don't want to hear the confirmation of, yeah, it's bad. The outlook's not good. Prognosis isn't great. That's his problem right now, and he's in a denial stage, and eventually he's going to come around to, I think, the idea that this team's not very good and I'm largely responsible for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. He's treating your show and the station like it's DallasCowboys.com, and it's not the same thing. Like the Dallas Cowboys radio network, you mentioned Sham and Hansen, and I get that a little bit more. Like when I do the pregame show before a Cowboys game, we're on the Dallas Cowboys radio network. I have a little bit of a different understanding of, okay, I need to be a little bit more careful here.
Well, that's not
because
an opinion
this,
show as much.
Right, for sure, yeah. For sure. But there's things that I would probably say on G-Bag or here with you guys that maybe I wouldn't say whenever I'm doing Dallas Cowboys Radio Network pregame show. I think there's a line of demarcation there, but for him to treat you guys like you're the .com, it's just hilarious to me.
I think he
hasn't done it the whole time. You guys have been talking for 14 years.
Yeah, 14
you guys have asked way more difficult
280
questions.
280 episodes. I think what really happened here, and I think the problem is that Jerry got confused in a moment, and he thinks that Sean's name is Shan, and it's actually Sham, and he thinks he's Brad. And I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's okay. The only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I can actually buy that.
Nothing else makes sense.
Yeah, I was going to say, that makes more sense than what's actually happening.
Right.
It's a crazy situation, dude. He is confirmed for 8:30 on Tuesday, so he's back in the saddle with you guys, and...
No, he's confirmed for 8:30 on Tuesday. I don't know that we are. I mean, we may not be here.
That's true.
Is Sean's suspension supposed to be up by then, or is that when yours starts?
That's when mine starts.
That's when
mine
yours starts.
Mine starts on Monday.
He is suspended for Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
And so he's not going to be sitting in on
just staggering the suspension.
Maybe you just lean into teeing up the softball questions like, hey, Jerry, I know there's a lot of focus on the fact that you guys didn't score any touchdowns versus the Lions, but how about them field goals?
You're
man?
Almost in first place.
How about butter? You know, those, like, how can we get butter on the field a little
bit
more?
That's what we all the questions should be directed about Brandon Aubrey, because that's the only positive on the entire team. We're just going to just ask.
Jerry, break down that 52-yard field goal.
Jerry,
break down that 39-yard.
15 minutes of Brandon Aubrey questions.
Zeke almost touched 12 miles per hour, according to Next Gen. We're pretty fired up.
And that 12 miles per hour was on the bus riding them in to get dropped off at the locker. No, it'd be much easier to make me go away. In terms of you guys have to get the vasectomy excuse. For me, it'd be easy because you could just say Bobby never woke up forever.
Right. That's the thing.
Forever.
Yeah. People would buy that.
Exactly. I oversleep already.
Yeah, you already do. And just be like, let's just add another day to it.
Yeah, exactly what it is.
Bobby
all right.
took a page out of his mom's book.
Oh, God, Eric. Oh, man.
I felt good about
that's
that one.
That's true.
That's solid work.
Thank Jerry's you. Like,
that's well done.
You want to go see Mama? All right. Let's Mama talk about NFL mock drafts. Job, I know you got one. I'm going to hit this one first. New NFL mock draft over from The Athletic. We've talked about this idea of, Chop, you brought it up. You think it'd be insane if Travis Hunter went number one, right? Not necessarily an insane choice from his talent, but you'd be stunned if teams would pick him number one because of the position.
I would be stunned if teams pick him number one because I don't believe he could be a two-way player at the NFL level.
The number
and
one,
that's like the biggest boost for him. The, like, that's the number one thing.
The number one pick in the latest mock draft over The Athletic, it's Travis Hunter, baby.
Ooh.
Travis Hunter goes number one to the New England Patriots. And we were talking about how Travis Hunter, where he could end up next spring in terms of draft position.
Top 10 for sure, probably top 5.
Probably top 3, yeah. I think. And it doesn't matter what position he went. Now, if he went number one, we'd have to know what position he's playing in order to properly gauge the history of him going number one. So if he's playing receiver, this would be the first receiver pick number one since?
I bet you Detroit did somebody number one.
Oh, it was the Jets.
Yes.
It was Keyshawn?
It was Meshawn.
Yeah.
No.
Meshawn Johnson in 1996.
The Lions picked like three guys in the top three, number one.
It was Carlos Rogers, Mike Williams, and Roy Williams.
And Roy, yeah.
Yeah.
At least one of those guys also took a page out of Bobby's mom's book.
God. Holy cow. It's an aggressive Carlos Rogers joke.
I'm sorry. I was on a roll there.
Eric.
I just felt really good about it. If I
what are we,
back,
what are we doing there?
All right, if he's playing corner.
Eric!
If he's playing corner.
I mean, it was a while ago.
Will, Eric. Do you want to sit in for Eric? I think Eric just got suspended.
I'm crashing out.
Come on in here, Will.
So if he's playing wide receiver, he'll be the first since Keyshawn Johnson in 1996 to go number one. If he's playing corner, he will be the first to go number one since.
Playing corner, number one.
Wait, corner?
First number one corner pick since?
Never.
A corner that went number one?
Never.
Yeah.
He would be the very first one. So that speaks to your idea of positional value, Chop.
Well, it's just like, now listen, it's not going to happen. A quarterback's going number one. We know that. They always do. They
almost, and probably almost, two almost and three.
I mean, several did. Years haven't, but
several,
yeah.
But we know more often than not.
So typically, I looked it up. Over the last 28 NFL drafts, the first pick has been a quarterback 20 times. An edge rusher has been it 5 times. Offensive tackle 3 times. So no other position other than edge, tackle, and quarterback
has been picked number one. 75% of the time, basically. 70, you know, that's been a quarterback.
The highest quarterback picked in this mock draft is Shedeur Sanders to the Raiders at 8. Carson Beck goes 10 to the Dolphins. Which tells us that The Athletic thinks what will happen to Tua. And no other quarterbacks go in the first round. So what about the Cowboys? They have them picking at 16 and taking the massive Kentucky defensive tackle, Deion Walker. What did you see on the mock draft yesterday?
So this is from CBS, and they do have Travis Hunter going number one.
I watch CBS, and all I see is BS.
I think it's more likely that you get Will Campbell, as the number one pick than Hunter. Just because
he's a really good player.
But the Cowboys... They do have, I mean, they have five. First of all, they have 5 quarterbacks go in the top 12 in this draft.
That's more realistic than what they have on the other one, which is the first quarterback off the board at 8. That's not happening.
Yeah, so this one's got Cam Ward is the first other off the board at 4. Carson Beck at 5. Shedeur at 6.
Whoa. Who's doing this mock draft that has Shedeur as the third quarterback taken?
CBS.
No, but who? This has got to be Chris Trapasso. Oh, I knew it.
And then they've got Milroe at 11 and Nussmeier at 12, or Neusmeier.
I was going to say, I thought it was Neusmeier.
Some people would say.
Oh my gosh! Okay, I'm not going to trash anybody.
Now I love this though. Cowboys with the pick 16, which means they didn't make the playoffs. They take Ashton Jeanty out of Boise State.
Yeah, we've seen this one.
9.9 yards a touch.
Look, if you're going to tell me they take, I know we have a disagreement on this. I would take a running back in the first round as long as it's like the back 10. Because to me, that's the time. Like, if you want to talk about how good they play, yeah, and you get 5 years of control, that's when they're good. That's when
it
okay,
is when
I'll,
they're
I'll,
good.
I'll pay for 5 years at a, you know, however much $4 million rate to get peak running back play. That's worth it.
That's when they're good. Now, look, it hasn't worked for Atlanta. They did it recently.
But they took one 8. I'm talking about if you take one 26, that's a different.
That's fine. It's a different story. You know, and you're getting your fifth year out of them, too. They're going to want it. The problem is you're only going to get 3 years out of them.
A guy like Genty, he'd play till he's 26. That's 5 years.
Right, but we know that they're going to want to, after the third year, they're going to go for a.
So Jared Verse, who went, he's like 19th. Okay, Jared Verse went 19th. His average salary is $3.7 million for 5 years. So, I mean, if you're able to get that out of Ashton Genty, that's worth it. You're paying – Zeke is charging eight against the cap.
I agree. The problem, though, is that you're not actually getting 5 years out of him. You're only getting three because then he's going to hold out for a contract.
Right.
And that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. The Cowboys are not anywhere close to a running back away. If they're going to be using some assets in the first round for a running back, I would be beside myself with frustration.
We'll be all in.
So hopefully that is not the case. All right, let's barrel into the Power Hour, the final hour here on a Football Firehouse Friday, live in Denton, station number 3. We'd love to see you here, 35 in McCormick, here until 10 o'clock. We'll chat with Nick Eatman coming up here in just a bit, but RJ Choppy's putting money in your pocket with a Friday degenerate next year on The Fan.